Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We begin with Allah's blessed name. We praise Him and we glorify Him as He ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all His noble messengers, and in particular on the last of them all, the blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As we greet you on this, the 26th day of the month of Zilhijjah, the last month of the year, and so on Yawmul Arba'i, Wednesday, it'll be the 29th, and on Wednesday night, we will look for the moon, inshallah, for the moon of Muharram, to welcome the new year of 1442. And we greet you from the studios of the Islamic Broadcasting Network here in my native island of Trinidad with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I hope to be able to give the fourth response today to the subject of Hagia Sophia. And it is already clear to me that while there are those who are listening and who have a capacity to think and whose hearts have not been corrupted and who are able to think and to analyze and to show respect for the Quran, a large number of them are accepting the analysis of the subject which I have been presented. But there are others who either do not want to listen and yet want to comment, who do not want to read my books, no, and yet want to comment. They have a predisposition towards the subject. They already made up their mind, and nothing that I say is relevant to them. What can I do for such people? Why do you come to even comment if you're not willing to listen carefully to what I'm saying? And if you're not willing to show respect for the Quran? If I explain the Quran incorrectly, well, why don't you correct me so that our listening audience can listen to your explanation and see whether or not they are comfortable with it? Well, I invite you. Let me repeat it. I am inviting you, politely so. If I am wrong in my explanation of the Quran, would you kindly correct me? Otherwise, why don't you shut up? We have used the verse of Suratul Hajj of the Quran to declare what the Quran has prohibited, what the Turkish government did to this Hagia Sophia Cathedral, and what before them the Ottoman Empire had done to the Hagia Sophia Cathedral in converting it from a Christian house of worship to a masjid. The Quran has prohibited that. And this was not an ayah mutashabiha, meaning a verse which had to be interpreted. This was an ayah muhkama, meaning plain and clear. And whenever the Quran speaks, even if it be a single verse, but it is plain and clear, then whether you like it or you don't, whether you are comfortable with it or you're not, whether you understand it or you don't, once you recognize that this is the word of Allah Most High, you have to submit to it. The consequences of not doing that would be terrible for you. Oh yes, on Judgment Day. If you fail to submit to the Quran, if you defy the Quran, it's a grave sin. And the Quran has plainly and clearly stated بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لهدمت صوامع وبيع وصلوات ومساجد يذكر فيها اسم الله كثيرا. And if Allah had not caused some men to restrain others by force if necessary, meaning to wage war against others, then houses of God, houses of worship, the church and cathedral, the monastery, the synagogue, the masjid, would have been destroyed. There are many ways of destroying a building, one of which is to transform it from a cathedral to a masjid. And so this is a command in the Quran that we have to fight if necessary to protect Hagia Sophia, protect it as a cathedral, a Christian cathedral. Instead of protecting it, it is transformed into a masjid. This is defiance of the Lord God for the second time. What will be your fate if you defy the Lord God as he has spoken in the Quran? I'll tell you what is the fate which is awaiting you. Whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or you're not, is irrelevant to me. That's right. I'll tell you what is your fate. Because Allah has said in the Quran that he is going to cause some men to restrain others who want to destroy the church and the cathedral, the synagogue, the monastery, and the masjid. He is going to protect them. This is what he's going to do about Hagia Sophia. You did it the first time, and then you waited almost 600 years, and you did it the second time, and you show no remorse whatsoever for what you've done. You didn't learn any lesson for 600 years. You never read the Quran for 600 years. What is the fate that awaits you for this monstrous defiance of the Quran, this refusal to even understand the Quran, and celebrating that you have now converted it to a masjid, and you're celebrating, you're happy about it? Yes, people who have eyes and yet cannot see, people who have ears and yet cannot hear, people who have young hearts and yet do not understand, what does Allah say about them? وَلَقَدْ زَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Huge numbers are destined for the fire. He says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are just like cattle. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. They are worse than cattle. So let me tell you, what is the fate that awaits you for what you have done to Hagia Sophia? Because of this verse of the Quran. Because of this verse of the Quran, Allah is going to raise an army. That's right. And that army will come to correct what you have done. That's right, defying the Quran. He said, and he conveyed this to Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, because our Prophet does not know the future unless Allah discloses it to him. And that's how our Prophet was able to say, because a divine decree is there, that's why our Prophet was able to say, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَتَفْتَحَنَّ الْقُنْسْتَنْتِنِيَّ. You'll most certainly conquer Constantinople. وَلَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا وَلَنِعْمَ الْجَيْشُ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْشُ. And he praised the army, and he praised the commander, and all the sheep, and all the cattle, and all the goats, and all the camels who have ears and cannot hear, who have eyes and cannot see, who have hearts and yet do not understand, and who don't care two peanuts for the Quran. They say that it was Sultan Muhammad Fatih in 1453. He is the one who has fulfilled this prophecy. Wait, and you'll see the consequences for your stupidity. My language is strong today. I have been lecturing for so long on this subject. I have been lecturing on Constantinople for 10 years now. I began my first lecture on this subject at the International Islamic University in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, in the Grand Masjid Hall, with a few thousand students present and with so many Turkish professors sitting right in front of me. About 10 years ago, I started there in Malaysia, and I have been lecturing on this subject for 10 years now, and they would not listen. They don't want to even hear what I'm saying, but they already reject me. They don't even want to read what I've written, and they already reject me. So when that army comes, prophesied by the prophet, and you know when it'll come, I don't have to remind you about that. Everybody else knows when the army will come, only you don't know. When that army comes and it liberates, it conquers Constantinople, it will do so to correct what this Quran has prohibited. Correct what was done to Hagia Sophia. That is why. It is because of Surah Al-Hajj of the Quran. But a Muslim army is going to come to liberate Constantinople. And when the city is conquered, then Hagia Sophia will be returned, and the prophecy in the Quran will be fulfilled. وَلَوْلَا دَفَ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بَعْدَهُمْ بِبَعْدٍ لَهُدِّمَ الصَّوَامِعُ وَبِيعٌ وَصَلَوَاتٌ وَمَسَاجِدٌ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. This verse of the Quran is sticking in your throat like a bone. That's why the army is coming. So on that day, Allah will raise an army to fight you. Prepare yourself for it. You better learn to fight, because the army is coming for you. That's right. The army is coming for you. When Hagia Sophia is returned, to whom would it be returned? There are two Christian worlds. It is a Christian Orthodox, it is a Christian cathedral. But the Quran speaks of two Christian worlds. One with whom we are prohibited from maintaining friendship and alliance. Yes. And the Quran speaks clearly, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض. Don't take such Jews and don't take such Christians as your friends and allies, who are بعضهم أولياء بعض, who are friends and allies of each other. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. And whosoever from amongst you turn to them with friendship and with alliance, NATO alliance, that's right, NATO alliance, the Judeo-Christian alliance, NATO. Whosoever from amongst you turn to them like Turkey has done, for innahu minhum, you belong to them, you don't belong to us now. Get away from us. You're not a part of us, but you want to become the leader of the world of Islam? Are we stupid? Don't we have any sense in our head? Can't we understand the Quran? You do not belong to us anymore, so long as you're a member of that NATO alliance. لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى بعضهم أولياء بعض. لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض. ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. Do not take such Jews. Do not take such Christians as your friends and allies, who are themselves friends and allies of each other. And whosoever from amongst you turn to them with friendship and alliance, as Turkey has done, you don't belong to us anymore, you belong to them. And Allah will not provide guidance to our wicked people. If I have explained the Quran the wrong way, well, why don't you sure tell us the right way? Tell us the right way. How important is it that this cathedral be returned to them and this violation of the Quran be corrected? Answer: when the cathedral is returned to them, then another prophecy in the Quran will be fulfilled. The Quran says that in time to come, when the Jews are the most hostile of all people to you, a Christian people, a people who declare we are Christians, will become closest in love and affection to you. It is not for you to decide who are the Christians. Get away from me. It is for Allah to decide, not you. When you see those Christians coming closer and closer in love and affection to us, that is the fulfillment of the divine promise. Whether you like it or you don't, whether you accept it or you don't, it's irrelevant. Get lost. People who cannot think. They, the people who are attached to Hagia Sophia, they are the ones who will become closest in love and affection for us. If you cannot stomach the truth, something is wrong with you. Go take your brains and get to a laundromat and wash it of all the rubbish in it. My language has to be harsh, because 600 years had made no difference to these people. 600 years had made no difference. After 600 years, they still cannot think. And the world of Islamic scholarship out there is either silent or supporting them. The same world of Islamic scholarship, and I'm not speaking disrespectfully of my peers, the same world of Islamic scholarship, which to this day and this moment still cannot accept, unwilling to accept, that the modern paper, plastic, and electronic money and cryptocurrencies are all bogus, fraudulent, and haram, and have been created to be used as a vehicle for the enslavement of mankind. So many can already recognize that. It is so simple for them. But that world of Islamic scholarship is stuck with its feet in mud or in concrete. And that includes the Darul Uloom. Yes. And they are silent on Hagia Sophia or supporting Erdogan in Hagia Sophia. That world of Islamic scholarship will ever accept what I'm saying? The whole world of Islamic scholarship out there, and for 25 years now I have been lecturing on the subject of Gog and Magog. It made no difference to them. Wait. Wait for Judgment Day. Even before that, wait for the grave and you'll see where your obstinacy will take you. Your arrogance will take you. You refuse to listen to what I'm saying. You refuse to think. And you still insist Gog and Magog have not as yet been released. No Gog and Magog in the world now interfering with the affairs of the world. Yes. And yes, and my scholarship is there. A humble scholar, a student of a great teacher, yes. Praise is due to my teacher, praise is due to Allah who gave us my teacher. Maulana Dr. Muhammad Fadlur Rahman Ansari, rahimahullah, he gave me the methodology with which to study, which they don't have in the Darul Uloom. And so they were not willing, they're not willing to accept it. But when Hagia Sophia is returned to that Orthodox Christian world, they will then become closest in love and affection for this ummah. They become closest in love and affection not only to Muslims, but to the Quran and to Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And my listening audience here will recognize that this is something very positive. But the others, it's stick in their throat, their hatred for the Christian, not for Washington and London and Paris. They don't hate them. They hate, these are the ones that they hate. They hate Russia with a hatred that is enormous. And so Hagia Sophia is important in Islamic eschatology. Hagia Sophia has a position of supreme importance in Islamic eschatology. I can't speak for Christian eschatology, but I can speak for Islamic eschatology. I have been humbly, so I have been chosen. Allah has been kind to me. I don't know if there's anyone else who's been pioneering Islamic eschatology these last 20 years. I don't know if there is, mashallah, I don't know. I know that I have been doing it for 20 years and there is no one to support me. Now, alhamdulillah, very lately, yesterday, a few people are now emerging in the world of Islamic eschatology. But for 20 years, I've been all alone. I've written all these books that you must study if you want to understand Hagia Sophia. The most important of all is this one, Constantinople in the Quran. This was written maybe last year. And I dedicated the book. I dedicated the book to Hagia Sophia. Let me read the dedication. My dedication for Hagia Sophia. If you're in Greece, I hope you're listening. If you're in Athens, I hope you're listening. If you're in Thessaloniki, I hope you're listening. May that day soon come when a Muslim army will conquer Constantinople, after which you will be returned to the Christian people to whom you rightfully belong. They are a people who accepted Jesus, alayhi salam, as the true Messiah, and who strive to faithfully follow him, while their enemies, on the other hand, both those who rejected Jesus as the Messiah, as well as their allies, that is the Judeo-Christian Zionist Alliance, they followed Dajjal, the false Messiah or Antichrist. So this book was dedicated to Hagia Sophia 1 year ago, or more than 1 year ago, before this transformation. I have written 2 books on Dajjal. And Hagia Sophia and Akhiru Zaman has as his most important actor. One of his most important actors is Dajjal. And I have written 2 books on Dajjal. My critics have written nothing. Here is the first book. Dajjal, the Quran, and Awwalu Zaman, or the beginning of history. This is my opening statement on the subject. Look how big it is. And then here is the second book I've written on Dajjal. The Quran, Dajjal, and the Jasad. This was written maybe 2 years ago. Probably the first book on this subject ever written. I have written a book on Gog and Magog. An Islamic view of Gog and Magog in the modern world. What have you done? This is my pioneering work, written 21 years ago. Jerusalem in the Quran, the bestseller, still remains up to today the bestseller, Jerusalem in the Quran. This is a book on the Great War which is coming. And it is after the Great War that the conquest of Constantinople will take place. Have you read this before you start criticizing me? This book explains Israel's agenda, Israel's imperial agenda. And this book gives you the changes which were made in the Torah to facilitate the Zionist plan. Yes, the religion of Abraham and the state of Israel, a few from the Quran. And this book tells you what happens to the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam in Akhir al-Zaman. One of the things is the Medina, which is now in forlorn desolation. When the plague comes, when the virus hits, the real virus, not the one manufactured in a lab, Medina will return to center stage in Akhir al-Zaman. And so there you are. The importance of Hagia Sophia in Islamic eschatology is that it is designed to function as a bridge which will bind the two communities together, the Ummah, or the community which follows Muhammad, Allah's blessings be upon him, and the Ummah, or the community which follows Jesus, alayhi salam. What does the Quran say about those who follow Jesus? This is what I had to teach because it is something of supreme importance for understanding the subject. What does the Quran say about those who follow Jesus? I've already explained. The Quran has said that Allah will raise them, those who follow Jesus, raise them to a position above and dominant over those who rejected Jesus, which is NATO, which is a Judeo-Christian alliance. And when he established them in that position of dominance, they will remain in that position in dominance until the end of the world. And so, here is the Quran. The Ummah of Jesus, meaning the community of people who follow Jesus, call them by whatever name you want, they will survive until the end of the world. It is a load of total rubbish that these people have to leave that Ummah and join our Ummah and follow our Prophet. That is a total load of total rubbish. Take it and throw it away. The Quran speaks. And the Quran says that they will remain followers of Jesus, not followers of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They will remain followers. Do you have some sense in your head that you can understand the Quran before you start rejecting what I'm saying? وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And I am going to cause those who follow you, O Jesus. I do not follow Jesus. I follow Muhammad. Allah's blessings be upon you. But the schoolboys who have nothing in their head except peanuts. Oh, no, 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 we follow Jesus as well. What is the fate that attends that people who refuse to think? Jumping like grasshoppers here and there without any capacity to think? It's only grasshoppers who jump here and there. No, you remain faithful to your prophet. This is your prophet. He is not your prophet. Why are you jumping here and there? Allah is going to cause that Ummah, which follows Jesus, to remain in a position of dominance until the end of the world, so that Ummah will survive. If you call them Christians, you call them Nasara, they will remain Nasara until the end of the world. That is what the Quran is saying. Yes, when Jesus returns, he will correct what they have done to the truth in mistakes which they have made. The Quran condemns the Trinity, yes, and Jesus will correct that. The Quran condemns the worship of Jesus as God and the Son of God, and Jesus will correct that, yes, when he returns. And that is the meaning of breaking the cross, that he would correct the mistakes which were made, but they will still remain his followers. And the Quran is saying that this community which follows Jesus will remain dominant in the world until the end of the world, whether you like it or whether you don't. Now then, we went on to say that Allah helped them. The Quran speaks of help which Allah gave to them. This is long ago. He helped them. And because of the help which he gave to them, they were victorious. This is Surah Ar-Rum. Alif Lam Mim. Ghulibat Ar-Rum. Rome was defeated. Fi adna al-ard, in a land which is close by. Wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibun. But after this defeat, they will be victorious. في بضع سنين, in just a few years. لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون. On that day when they were victorious, you will celebrate, you Muslims. And on that day when they will again be victorious, you will again celebrate. So there are two victories. Who is Rome? And which was the first victory? We've already explained, Rome is Constantinople. Orthodox Christian Constantinople. And Allah helped Orthodox Christian Constantinople to defeat Persia. That's right. And the Quran declares that Allah did that despite the fact that these people already had embraced the Trinity. Despite the fact, let me say it for the third time, despite the fact that these people already worship Jesus as the third person in the Trinity and the Son of God. Despite all of these, again and again, despite all of these things, yet Allah helped them. Are you more learned than him? Do you have more wisdom than the Lord God? He has chosen to help them. Why don't you submit to his wisdom? Why are you defying his wisdom? You're more learned than the Lord God himself. And not only did he help them when they were victorious against Persia, and when they were victorious, we celebrated our prophet, Allah's blessings be upon him. He celebrated, but your hearts are filled with only hatred, garbage in your hearts, only hatred. But the Quran said more. Quran said that they will be helped and they'll be victorious for a second count, second time. And in our last lecture, our third session, we asked the question, when will the second victory come for these Orthodox Christian people, Constantinople? When will Constantinople be victorious for a second time? Are we talking about Orthodox Christian Constantinople? We're not talking about Muslim Istanbul. No. The first time I've ever mentioned the name Istanbul. It doesn't sit easily on my tongue. I prefer Constantinople. The Quran speaks about a great traveler who traveled to the two ends of the land. And then when he traveled in the third direction, he came to Gog and Magog. And this is what the Jewish rabbis wanted to know. Does Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam know about this subject? If he does, then he's indeed a true prophet. And that's why the Quran sent down the answer to it in Surah Al-Kahf. Someone named Zulkarnain. We do not identify him. Zulkarnain with any historical personality. We do not identify him with George Bush. We do not identify him with Barack Obama. We do not identify him with Vladimir Putin. And we do not identify him with Recep Erdogan. No, we do not identify Zulkarnain with any historical personality. He is someone who will emerge in the region of the Black Sea with power endowed upon him by Allah. He uses that power to punish the oppressor and to help those who have faith and who are righteous in conduct, and reward them. This was the first time. And the first time he also traveled in the direction of the Caspian Sea, which is an ocean of oil. And he chose to allow the people who lived a way of life which is in accordance with nature, natural way of life. Despite the fact that they had all that oil, he allowed them to remain as they were. He did not put economic rights over human rights. No, he allowed them, he had the integrity, he had the compassion to leave these people as they were. So in that region of the world where the Caspian Sea is located, you will find a people who live the natural way of life. They're not the people who have hatred in their hearts for the Christian or Armenians. No, not these people. And they're not people who are Christians who have hatred in their heart for the Muslim Azerbaijani. Not those people. The majority of people in Armenia and Azerbaijan, Muslims and Christians, would love to live together as a family. Let me repeat that. So those who have thinking caps, you can put it on to understand where all the thunderbolts are coming from. The majority of Armenian people, Christian Armenian, and the majority of Muslim Azerbaijani people are nice people. And they would love to live together as a fraternity, brotherhood, without fighting each other, without hatred for each other. That's right. But because of those who rule over them and who are taking them for a ride, you have the mess where we are now located, which is being exploited by Turkey. May Allah protect us from that. Then Zulkarnain traveled in the third direction, which was Gog and Magog. And over there, he built a barrier. He could not destroy Gog and Magog. He couldn't fight them. But he could build a barrier, and they were contained, and the world was safe. And when he built the barrier, these are the words he said, "Hadha rahmatu min Rabbi." This barrier is a mercy from my Rabb, my Lord God. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَاءَ لَهُ دَكَّ وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقَّ. But when that time comes of which my Lord has warned, he's going to bring down this barrier. And when he brings down this barrier, then Gog and Magog are going to be released in the world. And the warning of my Lord will be fulfilled. And that happened already in the lifetime of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The barrier was brought down. So when will the second Qarn come, the second time? The second time will come when in the region of the Black Sea, power will again emerge. I hope you in the world of Christian eschatology, in the same way that I listen to Christian eschatology, I hope you will listen to Islamic eschatology now. This is the Quran. That when the second Qarn, or the second time comes, then in the region of the Black Sea, power will once again emerge. And it will be a power endowed by the Lord God on those people. And they will use that power to punish the oppressor. And of course, they have to be a people of faith. Of faith. Faith in the Lord God, the Lord God. And they will use that power to punish the oppressor in the region of the Black Sea. And they will use that power to assist those who have faith and are righteous in conduct and reward them. Who can that be? In the region of the Black Sea in the last age, is power emerging? And where is power emerging? Can it be Turkey? Can Turkey be the second Qarn? Will Turkey emerge as the dominant power in the Black Sea? No. Why? First of all, Turkey is a very ardent supporter of the Ottoman Empire, which was an oppressor for 600 years, an oppressor. And Turkey wishes to follow in the footsteps of the Ottoman Empire in also oppressing Orthodox Christians. That's right, that's the Turkish agenda. So can Turkey become the second Qarn when Turkey is an ardent supporter of an oppressor and itself an oppressor? The oppression of Turkey is right there in Hagia Sophia. In taking the Orthodox Christian cathedral and converting it to a masjid, you are oppressing them. You are an oppressor. How can you be the second Qutb? When Dzulqarnain uses power to punish the oppressor, and you are an oppressor. Secondly, Turkey is not the dominant power in the Black Sea. Not at all. If you think Turkey is the dominant power in the Black Sea, go back to school. No, no, no. Russia is the dominant power in the Black Sea. Even a schoolboy knows that. And Russia is using power to punish the oppressor. That is what Russia did in Syria. But you, your response is, you know, Putin this, did that, and Assad did that. The Putin this, and Putin that, and Assad this, and Assad. And how they raped 500 million babies, yeah? And they slaughtered 500 million women. Blah, 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 blah. And so Allah is helping Russia. And that is why Russia has become the dominant power in the Black Sea. I know you are uncomfortable with that. You're disgusted with that because you hate Russia. So take your hatred and get lost. This is the Quran. Power is re-emerging in the Black Sea, whether you like it or you don't. I am teaching the Quran. Power is re-emerging in the Black Sea, and that power is no longer the Soviet Union, which was atheist. This is a Russia which is returning to its Orthodox Christian roots and is not afraid to even risk nuclear war with USA in order to save Syria from becoming another Libya and save Syria from these bloodthirsty bandits of Dajjal, the ISIS and the bogus jihadists who are waging jihad, bogus jihad in Syria. Had it not been for Russia, you would have succeeded. That's right. You would have succeeded. And then Russia, Syria would have become another Libya. Get away from us. Who is helping Russia? Where does the help come from? That modern Western civilization has dominated the world for more than 300 years. No power in the world could stand up to them. And now suddenly, it was just yesterday that the Soviet Union collapsed. Just yesterday. And suddenly, Russia is now a more powerful military power than the United States and NATO. Where did it come from? How did it happen? Has it ever entered into your skull to think about it? The Quran explains where that power came from. And I have mentioned it in my book the Jasad, I think, yeah? The Jasad, yeah. The Quran, the Jasad, and this book on Dajjal, yeah. Where did the power come from? Go to Surah An-Naml, of the Quran. Naml, the ants. Excuse me. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, the Prophet Solomon, he gets to know that the Queen of Saba or Sheba has this great throne. And he asked those who were in his court, who could bring that throne for me before she arrives? And a jinn, these are beings created of fire, a jinn in the court, they are subservient to Sulaiman alayhi salam, Solomon, but he's one of the most powerful, he's an ifrit of the jinn. He said, I can do it before you rise from your throne. Now, from Jerusalem to Yemen is 2,000 or more kilometers. So for him to travel 2,000 kilometers and come back in such a short period of time, immense speed. But more than that, he's able to carry an object through space at that speed. Does that ring a bell to you about missile technology? Does that ring a bell to you? about aerodynamics. Hmm? That's right. That's right. This event is connected with missile technology and aerodynamics. So he said, I can bring that throne for you before you rise from your throne. And then someone in the court of Solomon who had the knowledge of the book, he said, I can bring it for you before you can wink your eyes, meaning at a far greater speed. Before you can wink your eyes means at a far greater speed. Modern Western civilization, where is it? Here we are. The Quran, the Great War, and the West. Modern Western civilization, the Quran teaches us from Surah Al-Rahman, they have been assisted by the jinn with their missile technology. That's right. And so they have the intercontinental ballistic missiles and so on, flying at great speed, and they're the dominant power in the world. But there is a book. The Quran refers to a book. And in that book, there's knowledge of missile technology, knowledge of aerodynamics, which will allow you to travel through space at a far greater speed and to move objects through space at a far greater speed. And I want to suggest to you, and of course, the rule is that when I offer my view, you should never accept my view unless you do your homework yourself. So if I die and I leave this world, you won't be parrot simply mechanically repeating what I say. My teacher used to say the same thing to me that I say to you. I want you, my students, to think. I want you to ponder. I want Allah to bless you with knowledge because you are planting, you are making an effort. And Allah will bless you with knowledge, inshallah, as He has blessed me with knowledge. And I thank Him for that. وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ He said, you thank me for what I gave you, I'm going to give you even more. So I'm saying to you that the explanation for this miraculous event of contemporary international affairs, military affairs, that Russia has overnight emerged as the dominant power in the world with a missile technology of capacity with such speed that if a war breaks out, the United States has to hide all these aircraft carriers. You cannot use them in warfare because they'll be sitting ducks for Russian missiles. They'll travel at such tremendous speed, like the winking of an eye. Where did it come from? This is Allah's help. So this min qabl wa min ba'd. Min qabl wa min ba'd. Two victories for the Christian people, Rome. And this is the second one that's coming now. This is the second one that's coming on. This is the second Qarn, when again power will emerge in the region of the Black Sea. And in this second Qarn, Gog and Magog are going to be contained for a second time. I have already explained this several times, and I'm not going to do it anymore now. I have just one more thing to say to the Orthodox Christian world. I hope you're listening to me in Russia. I hope you're listening to me in Greece in particular. I'm becoming more and more fond of Greece now. When I heard that all the church bells of Greece were ringing in pain and sorrow, I realized that the Greek people, they had Hagia Sophia closest of all to their hearts. I hope you're listening to me in the Balkans, wherever there are Orthodox Christians. I have something more to tell you. I'm teaching you the Quran. Let me repeat that. I'm teaching you the Quran as it has never ever been taught to you before. And I don't care about the schoolboys. Let them get lost. The Quran speaks about Constantinople. And I've done it in this book. What does the Quran say about Constantinople? You find it in this book. You can download all my books from my website imranhussain.org. Can you put it at the bottom? No, .org. And you can also order the books from my bookstore, imranhussain.com. That's right. The Quran speaks about Constantinople, but it does not give it by name. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ. And ask them about the town by the sea. The town by the sea. It is when we go to the hadith that we are able to understand the Quran. In this town there are an Israelite people. And the Israelite people, we know that they are Israelite people because the Sabbath, the law of the Sabbath is binding on them. This law of the Sabbath is not binding on other than the Israelite people. But how did these people come to this town? We know that when they attempted to crucify Jesus, and some of them wept and some of them celebrated, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He expelled them from the town, from Jerusalem. And part of them, that part which celebrated, He expelled them and He banned them from ever returning, but He then broke them up into bits and pieces. وَقَطَّعْنَاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُمَمْ. Broke them up into bits and pieces and scattered them all over the world. And so they could not take control of a town and a city. No. But the other part which believed in Jesus, which wept when they saw Him crucified, that's what they saw. They saw Him crucified because Allah said, شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. I made it appear to them like that. Yes. So you can't blame them. They saw Him crucified. Let me repeat it one more time. They saw Him crucified because Allah said, I made it appear to them like that. These people were not treated the same way. They were not cut up into bits and pieces and scattered all over the world. No. It is in a hadith of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that Allah blessed them. Allah blessed them to conquer a city without having to fight for it. And it is a city, janibun minha fil bar wa janibun minha fil bahr. One side of the city adjoins the land and the other side is by the sea. And it is Constantinople. And a Christian people now, Israelite people rather, who are now Nasara, who are now named as Nasara, they come and they are allowed by divine decree to conquer the city without fighting. How? They simply say, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, three times and the three sides of the city fall to them. So it is by divine decree that Christians took Constantinople. And it became a Christian city by divine decree. And in that city, where they are now required to observe the Sabbath, we are told that Dajjal is released amongst them. This is a hadith. Dajjal is released amongst them. And so Dajjal is able to corrupt them. And the corruption form, the form of corruption is to, I don't care two peanuts about the law. I don't care two peanuts about the law. I only care about the truth, not about the law. So if the law says that I have to observe the Sabbath, I am not allowed to work, I am only allowed to pray and rest, I don't care two peanuts for that. Does that ring a bell? So Allah sent the fish to them on the Sabbath day. And on every other day of the week, no fish came to them. And guess what they did? Those who were corrupted by Dajjal, the Christians who were following Dajjal, they went fishing. But the Christians who were faithful to Jesus did not go fishing. They warned them. They warned them that Allah will punish them. I have explained it in this book, Constantinople, in the Quran. And then Allah punished them for this massive violation, abandonment of the law. We are a people of the truth, bogus truth, and abandonment of the law. We don't need circumcision anymore. This business about not eating pork doesn't apply to us anymore. We don't have to bother about the Sabbath day anymore. Sabbath day is not Saturday, it's now Sunday. All of this nonsense. And Allah punished them. And this is what Allah says about them. Kunu kiradatan khasin. Be apes despised. And so that part of that Christian world where the law is no longer followed has become monkey town. They live like monkeys now. No clothes, they prefer nakedness. And like monkeys, they have their sexual relations in public, their bedroom life in public. That's monkey town. The modern Western world is moving in that direction, can't you see? So who are the followers of Jesus? The ones who are in monkey town or the ones who remain faithful to the Sabbath? We are now ending our session on Hagia Sophia with this message to the Orthodox Christian world that the Quran has spoken about you and about your cathedral. And I'm inviting you now to study the lectures I have delivered. These are four lectures on this subject. I'm inviting you to study my books. If you can do the subtitles in Greek and in Russian for my lectures, please do so. So the Greek people, the Russian people, the Serbian people will be able, who do not understand English, to be able to understand what has the Quran said about you and about your cathedral. And I want you to have this in your heart and be happy that the Muslim army is going to conquer Constantinople not long after the Great War. And we return Hagia Sophia to you. And on that day, you will embrace us and we'll be brothers. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.